He's going to bribe me for a dollar.
Tomatoes.
Post-traumatic stress bribe. Hey, Kevin. I got a customer needs a battery backup. It's a little better than the battery backup.
Ecclesiastes, it's chapter 7, verse 7. We will get rid of this one day.
Hey, I was thinking.
Morning. Are you thinking what? We have spent several days on this, and maybe we'll spend another one. Verse 7 of Ecclesiastes 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Now, I did a word search on the word mad again. I did before, but I... It has as its root in the meaning of the word mad there is transparent. Transparency transparency from a believer's standpoint is everything. Without the transparency, then your worship, your private worship in the temple, in your temple, is always hidden, is always... So the idea is that oppression causes you to be transparent. Because it's like, why are fasts required? Fasts are required not because God wants you to fast in order to get something from Him. The meaning and purpose of fasts is to cause you to be irritable so that you become transparent, so you can see yourself correctly.
Yeah, you get exposed for who you are.
Yeah. And so the whole issue of and purpose of affliction or suffering or oppression is to reveal your true nature, to make you transparent. And that puts a little bit different.
When you started this, I thought, how in the world to get to mad out of that? Well, when people are mad, they're just who they really are.
Well, it means mad here means like crazy.
Yeah, but that's about how we are when we're oppressed.
Have you ever seen Harry? Anybody ever seen Harry when he goes on his when something just takes over him?
Yeah.
Huh?
He's impressed.
Ever seen Gary when he gets challenged?
Another fine sweet young soul.
Your cell phone goes off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a little button I
push.
Ever
see Oli when he runs out of Ben and Jerry's?
Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad or transparent, and a gift destroyeth the heart. So can we leave that one? Does everybody see the importance of this?
Yeah, what is a gift?
We've only spent 4 days on that one. Where have you been?
In and out.
The moment you expect a response to you, or you deserve something, or then you're wanting a bribe.
Getting a good report on
125.
Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Anybody understand that? Why? Why is better the end better than the beginning?
Got through the shit.
No. Because you've seen
through the vanity.
You've seen through the vanity.
As opposed to the excitement of a new thing that you think is going to bring you what you want.
It could be very easily stated. Better is the end and foolishness of your sweet idea than the beginning of the sweet idea. Gary did a spit take. Gary just spit all over himself. Let's go to Job 42. Job is just before the Psalms. So when everything that Job went through, he lost everything, boils were all over his body, the dogs were licking his boils, kids died, wife died, everything. Huh? Wife didn't die, you're right. She probably wished she was dead.
Watch
what you're saying there.
Then Job, thank you for the warning. I knew I could count on you. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. And who does he think he is that hideth counsel without knowledge? In other words, that hides his thoughts. Therefore have I uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew nothing about. In other words, I was just blabbing to make myself heard. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. There's two times where you can demand of God. And it all has to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, how many people were in that position? You've heard of him by the hearing of the ear, and you tried to use him for your self-betterment, for your self-realization. You've tried to use him. This is where Christ said, many shall come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. He shall say, depart from me, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity, you workers of self-seeking, how dare you use the sacrifice of my son for your own self-realization? How dare you think that you are so special that his sacrifice wasn't enough for you? And in effect, that's what we're saying every time we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If there's any time you complain or want anything to be different, you are not hallowing his name. Can you understand that?
Well, I just saw that hallowed be thy way that you are, not just your Jehovah name or something, which is always where my mind wants to stop it.
Hallowed be you in your persona, in your nature, in your sacrifice, in your everything. And that's why you can't use, this is why Most, you know, if you listen to believers, especially religious guys, all they do is they're using all these religious phrases, but it's just ego speak. They use praise as punctuation, and they think it's spiritual. It isn't spiritual, it's just stupid. But hallowed be thy name. That cuts you to the core. Because if there's any issue, any smallest thing that you do that you think should be different than it is, then you cannot and are not hallowing his name. So I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I have uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not, but I've uttered them anyway. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself. Anybody doubt what abhor means? It means total and complete despising. I despise myself. Who is yourself? It's the false identity that you know in your heart that you have created. Anybody have any response? Anybody reach this point? Abhor yourself? Once you abhor yourself, you can't give any more credence to self. You can never owe it anything. You can never owe your mind or your thoughts or your emotions anything ever again. This is another book some people would like to take out of the Bible. It doesn't fit their theology.
You could just whittle and whittle on this book. You've got just a few phrases in there.
It's everything you've underlined.
Yeah, all the promises. Keep those.
Didn't you once say this is the oldest book in the world?
That's what the ancient guy said. Nobody really knows when it was written, but that's what many of the rabbis that I admire, they say this is the oldest book in the world. Have you ever really read Job? We read it, supposed to, every year. It's coming up. Read it during the fast of fast of Av.
Yeah, Bob said we all agree.
Do you understand it? I knew I could count on you, Ronnie. Better is the end than the beginning of anything. Not because the end will be the successful culmination of all your efforts and ambitions and ideas, but because the end of it is having successfully done it, instead of, oh, if only I had done this, then it would be different. Or if only that person hadn't been there, then I would have been different. The end of the thing is the end of the thing that you have imagined, and it works perfectly. Everything that you wanted comes to pass. The end is better than the beginning, because at the end it cannot fill the cavity, because you see how stupid it is to continue to make God the filler of your appetites. Anybody have any response? Somebody want to? I wish we need to have. We need some people here to disagree.
Interactive email.
What you want is cannon fodder.
If you want, I mean, interactive emails. That'll really give it to you, won't it? That'll be good. Then you can really be. No, you can't. Oh, I love blogs. I just love to go to. I hate blogs because you can't see. You can't. You just. It's and there's no test. It's just crap.
I think you abhor blogs.
Despise. Oh no, they're wonderful because it gives people a voice. No, it doesn't. It gives people a better chance for hypocrisy so they can say a bunch of crap without ever having to face the consequences. Anyway, how to get in that? Go back to Ecclesiastes. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, verse 8. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. What does that mean? Let's go to Proverbs 14. Verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Now, there's this great, what do you call it? I don't know, saying about this. It says, when the kettle boils over, it puts out the fire. So many people confuse, they think they're having zeal, but they're really just putting out the fire. What does that mean? When the kettle boils, it puts out, when the kettle boils over, it puts out the fire. Let's go to Matthew 13. Huh? What?
I'm stammering.
Why?
Stammering.
Yep.
No, he's
putting out the fire is putting off the antagonism. So I don't want to.
That's one way. Let's see if there's another.
Where are we going?
Matthew 13. This is the parable that Jesus said of it in Mark's version of it, that if you don't understand this parable, you'll understand nothing, but if you do understand it, you'll ever understand everything. That's kind of big. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, to the disciples, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and it shall have more abundance, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you will hear, or shall hear, and not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. I challenge you to read that section in one of the new translations, like the Living Bible or something, because it's the opposite. But so is it in many of the Jewish commentaries, because they forget the word lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. He's saying it ain't going to happen. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear you, therefore, the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and soon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now that's what I'm talking about, and I believe that's what they're talking about in. It's that you're so wonderful, God. I just praise you with all my heart, and everything is wonderful, and I'll give my testimony. But when persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So that is what I believe that what we just read in Ecclesiastes is talking about. Patient in spirit, because when the kettle boils over, it puts out the fire. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
If it's a cooking metaphor, then you don't want the fire to go out. You want the fire to keep going.
That's right.
So if it's too active, it puts out the fire and everything.
That's the point, yeah.
I've had that experience where cooking something.
You've also had that experience spiritually about 50,000 times since I've known you.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I agree.
Another way that verse hits me is when when I am resurrected, when I come up, when my spirit rises up, it quenches.
All righty.
What about that root in himself? Hath he not root in himself? It's like the.
That's the same thing. That's why people have called the seed. The seed is the word sperma. But no, the seed now has become money. That's as bad as in Daniel when they call Jesus, when he caused the oblation to cease, it's the Antichrist. That's what they're calling good evil and evil good. And that's what they do here. The hasty in spirit is one that's quick to talk about all their wonderful new testimony, their new thing they've found. They've got a new thing. But when persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by they are offended.
Here's a solution. This is the ticket.
There's pride in their newfound relationship with
oh, yeah.
God and how he loves.
That's why, you know, you've heard me say it. Oh, they say, oh, isn't the believers, new believers' testimony so sweet? I know what let's do. Oh, we've got a couple of celebrities here from the Dallas Cowboys. Let's send out a press release for their baptism. Because we can show that here's how, this is what God does for you. You can be a Dallas Cowboy if you become a believer. That's the implied message. First of all, who in the hell would want to be a Dallas Cowboy? That's number one. But number two is, that's the opposite message of the gospel. Oh, we got Diane Cannon. She's now a new believer, and she's a preacher now. Have you ever heard her preach? She's an actress, for those of you that aren't very old. Well, the point of it is, it's not her fault. It's the point. It's she was encouraged to go on the speaking circuit. Not be and oh, look, you can do great things for God because you're famous. We're going to make Jesus Christ famous. That's the most ludicrous thing. That's probably the. That sentence is the most ludicrous sentence I've ever heard in my entire life. But that's, yeah. But you do the same thing when you think this place is special or that we have some.
It's even dumber than what Gary said in Bible study yesterday.
But Gary's dumbness was only enhancing your super dumbness.
Thank you, Mr. Holder.
You consider that a compliment?
Yeah, but I can't remember what I said.
Oh, back to Ecclesiastes. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Verse 9, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Anybody know where I'm going with that one? Say not. Oh, this is a really beautiful street, and it reminds me of Paris. Oh, look at this. This reminds me of back when I was in. Because what you're saying to God is you want the former days. There is absolutely nothing about the past that I want. There's no place I want to see. There's nothing I want to do. Well, maybe one or two exceptions of something I would like to have done. But
a couple of isolated moments.
No, I'm talking about way back. A couple of all those women and so little time period. Now, the whole point of this, though, you've got to come to this mystery that seeing where you are right now is the best that it can be. Because you're in the New Jerusalem. You're seated on the mercy seat. You're at the top of the pyramid. You know why you were born. This is a reason that time and space exist. It is beauty upon beauty. Oh, no, but it's not good enough for me because I want to go back there. First of all, your memories of going back there are all lies anyway. Do you understand that? You filtered them through your own idolatry and come back up with some great memory of something that when you were there, you were miserable in the first place. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You'd be there.
Seems like there's always this little thing that you say, if I could only go back with what I know now. You don't want to sacrifice everything you...
Who would possibly ever say that?
I've heard people say it. I'm just kind of reporting.
I'm not going to report it.
Oh, if only... Oh, if only. It is such a, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Because God has wrought all our works in us to bring us to this point so that we might see, so you might fulfill the reason that you were born. Not because of Trinity, but because of the cross. And if you despise this in favor of some false memory of that, then you're not hallowing his name. Oh, I wish, let's go back to the good old days. Those. I used to hear my dad used to say that all the time. Oh, let's go back to the good old days. But please, you've got to, because that's a trap that everybody falls into. That you have a vague memory of some issue or something. That's, first of all, the memory is through this template, which is a lie. And then you're saying, that was better than where you are now. And you despise the mercy of God by doing that. Can anybody understand me? If you can't, if you don't agree with this, let's talk.
It makes me think of the conversation is it Peter had with Christ when Christ said, you know, we have to go to Jerusalem and predict his death. And Peter said, no, no, no.
He said, get thee behind, what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan.
For this reason I came to do this.
But we innocently, quote unquote, we're constantly doing that. Oh, if only I could. You forget the misery that you were in, or at least the misery that came as a result of whatever that is that you were doing. You understand a little bit? And in the first place, you got to know your mind's lying to you. If you want to know how much your mind lies to you, sit in 28 days of depositions with somebody that spent millions of dollars on private investigators. You can't. I promise you. We don't. You can't. The past is gone. Good riddance.
Yeah, it's like worshiping the dead or necromancy or some worshiping ghosts.
Well, it is. It's really, Isaiah 26.
It's really weird. Don't be a jerk.
Huh? Would I ever be a jerk?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Heartbeat.
No. Take it, big guy. No, we'll probably spend more on that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. More on that tomorrow.
Tomorrow and the next day.
Today is Friday?